G46, is anybody trying to check into the Simplex net tonight? I'm just trying to figure out if the home spot's not great or if just nobody's checking in tonight.
GD991.
I heard a squelch break there, but I got no audio.
I haven't heard anything yet, though.
In West Jordan, I can hear you.
To receive. Is WROG 406 to Friday night?
991, 406. Yeah, I was waiting to join in. I haven't heard you yet.
Yeah, he's actually, he's like, is anybody checking in?
To be specific, I'm on Capitol, WSGD 991.
I'm probably just not getting out well from the house. I wasn't able to go up to the hill today as my registration expired. I need to go get the emissions done tomorrow, so I didn't want to chance it.
I'm not going to incriminate myself, but I understand how you feel. We'll leave it at that.
No worries. I hear you all too well on that.
Also, anyone that is listening in that wanted to join the net, myself, 991, and WROG 406, the host of the Saturday Night Net, are talking on the Capitol repeater if you wanted to join in. On a side note, I just got new equipment. I bought myself the BTEC UV50X because I need a new ham radio. My TYT 2 megahertz receive died completely. It's transmit still in perfect condition, still transmits great. It's just receive died. It's the dumbest thing. I'm so annoyed about it.
Oh, that's a bummer. You might hit up KN6KRB, Crab Mike. I know he works on radios. He might be able to figure it out for you.
Yeah, that might not be a horrible idea. It is a... it's a copy of a Japanese radio. I don't remember which one. I want to say it's the Yaesu. I want to say it's a copy of. I mean, heck, it's got Japanese chips in it. I opened it up. It's got Mitsubishi Japanese chips in it, so it can't be that far off, right?
Yeah, probably not. But I've seen him fix some stuff, and I know he's got steady hands in that aspect more than that I would chance messing with on some of the stuff he's worked on. So I know a lot of the older stuff he works on, but a lot of that's bigger components too. But I know he's worked on a couple things, I think, that were like, you know, small solid state stuff. So might give him a holler for sure. I know he'll listen to the UARC one. Might be able to catch him right after the net. I have his number too.
Well, maybe I'll try reaching out to him on Facebook. At the end of the day, it is what it is. My TYT 9800 is just going to be a dedicated ham radio. I mean, a dedicated GMRS radio at this point because the BTEC is taking over ham responsibilities. Say for like CB radio for listening in and 6 meter and HF, but I only have FM HF on the darn thing, so... yeah, it's mainly going to be a GMRS radio. I mean, my GMRS radio, I'm guessing you probably saw it at the last meetup. I built a whole little cabinet there, cabinet thing for my radios, and my GMRS radio has just been replaced by the TH9800 because that's the only good use I have for it.
Yeah, I did see that. It came out good. Well, I mean, that's... well, I mean, you got what you got. You can use that for now at least, but... yeah, I actually plan on doing a lot more radio the last couple weeks and did pretty much none. other than when I was in Arizona, I did some APRS, and then did a little bit of APRS last weekend when I was up there at Strawberry. Did run into a couple of hams on Simplex, so that was kind of cool. They were traveling as well. One of them actually pulled up next to me, and I was dealing with the dog, because I took one of the dogs with us out there, the small one, and it's like his second ride he's ever been on, so he was a little anxious, and I was kind of dealing with him. The car pulled up next to me and honked and picked his radio up and showed it to me, so I was like, oh, okay. Swapped over to Simplex, had a conversation with him and another guy for about a half hour. That was pretty cool on the way up there.
Well, that's awesome. That's not too often you run into something like that. I know on my last weekend, I took a trip up to Idaho. My father-in-law, he was running behind a little bit for his carpentry business, so I ran up there and worked for him for a day to get one of his jobs started for him. And drive up, I had the TH9800, so, and I was trying to stay on the intertie the whole time, and it's like, why am I not hearing anything back? And I got frustrated, dealt with it there, and realized, oh, hey, 2 meters dead. Awesome. I was going out, just nothing was coming back, because I'm sure I probably pissed somebody off in the intertie, because I had a lot of people coming back once I finally turned on my HT to the intertie, saying, yes, we can hear you, stop radio checking. So I'm sure I probably annoyed quite a few people, but then I got in contact with some local GMRS operators up in Tetonia, and they have their own local GMRS system, so had a good few conversations, and they kind of helped me troubleshoot a little bit, so that was pretty cool. It would have been nice for Simplex, because it's not too terribly often you end up Simplex, but I'll take what I can get, you know?
Yeah, for sure. And yeah, that's a bummer, but oh well, it happens. I mean, oh well, if they get upset, it's, you know, didn't know you had equipment that went south on you, so not your fault in that aspect. And they can learn to be a little more patient. So that's what I usually assume. If there's anything going on like that, I just assume that, you know, maybe they're not receiving or something. But I was going to follow the intertie on the way down, too, and I did a little bit. I was listening to it, but no AC in the truck and the windows down. It was crazy loud, and I didn't want to sit there and try to talk with the wind all crazy in the truck and probably covering most of my voice and everything else. So ended up being not too bad of a drive, other than the St. George stop was not my forte by far. A little bit of civil rights violations there, but oh well.
Did you end up pulled over, or a bunch of people protesting? I know that's been going on statewide, basically.
No, I got pulled over. We stopped in St. George, and I had a temp tag on the truck, because I haven't got emissions done yet. And I pulled in to the Maverick, where we always stop, fueled up, and seen the local PD coming through. And he was driving through traffic with his front spotlights on, which I'm like, that's pretty rude. You know, you're blinding everybody, and that's illegal. Illegal as crap to be doing that. And he started pulling through the Maverick parking lot, and I'd already fueled. We got in the truck, and we were waiting for them to pass. And I actually mentioned it to the wife. I go, man, I go, they're up to no good tonight. They're just looking for anything, you know. And he passed. I pulled out, went to make my way back to the freeway. When I was sitting at the light, I seen him kind of like quickly making a loop through the parking lot to head back toward the entrance. And as soon as I made the left, he booked it to get behind me and lit me up and everything. And it was too, I made that temp tag like blatantly obvious on the back window just for that reason. And he walked up to the truck. That's the first thing he mentioned. He goes, oh, I didn't notice you had a temp tag. I'm like, well, that's kind of hard with those spotlights you got on. It should be the only thing you're seeing pretty much looking at the back of me. But anyway, I didn't give him a hard time, but Sarah said it wasn't coming up in the system, and said that they didn't know you could print temp tags out, and just kind of, I think he was killing time for the canine, which, to be honest, if they would have just asked and said, hey, you want to run a canine because we're doing random checks, I wouldn't have cared. But they beat around the bush about it, and that was what was annoying to me. And then they had to get out of the truck, and ran the dog around the truck and then said, well, you know, it didn't alert, but he showed interest, you know, to the truck, and it could be environmental. And I said, well, I got beef jerky in there. And they said, well, it wouldn't alert for that. Well, yeah, it wouldn't alert. It didn't alert. It had interest, you know, and I didn't mention that because, you know, at some point, you know, shut up and just, you know, mind what you're saying at that point, especially if they're kind of fishing. And they asked to search the truck. I told them, no, I'd rather not because you have no reason to, and there's nothing in there, and that's my right. And that, and I had all my radio equipment. I didn't want them, what I was worried about, I didn't want them to tear through my HF equipment and tear it up, you know what I mean, because then I would have been really upset, and which they never even checked it. They checked a bunch of other stuff, opened a pack of cigarettes, threw it on the floor, and just being dumb, you know. But anyways, they had me on the side of the road for an hour, and then when they asked to search it, I told them no, and then they said, well, we're going to search it with or without your consent. I said, all right, then. And then they searched it, so... So yeah, that was not legal by far, but tried to find a lawyer, see if a lawyer wanted to do anything with it.
Oh, I'd be so pissed. Fourth Amendment fucking violation. Sorry, language. I'm slightly drunk. I should control that. Fourth Amendment violation from hell and back. I'd be so pissed. You were a lot calmer than I would have been. I would have been told that DA, the dumb A, calling him straight up a dumb A, saying, I'm gonna sue your ass to hell and back. How dare you violate my Fourth Amendment and expect me to give up my Fifth Amendment, too. Oh, God, I would have been so pissed. I can't put into words because I'm too drunk about how pissed I'd be, but I'd be beyond pissed. So you were a lot calmer than I would have been.
Yeah, and I was doing my best to stay calm, and I knew we still had a long road trip, you know what I mean? So I was somewhat trying to just get it done and over with, and I figured, well, everything's on body cam, so, you know, maybe I could find a lawyer to pick it up or whatever. But they ended up writing me the warning citation for no registration, which that was bullcrap because I proved I had registration, showed them all the documents, everything. And I'd even told them after they pulled me out, I said, hey, I showed you everything I'm legally required to. I said, it's not my fault that you, quote-unquote, don't see it in your system. That's not my problem. What I'm responsible for, I did my responsible part, and I showed you everything. I should be good to go. I shouldn't be here. Not only that, I passed a bunch of highway patrol. They all got autoplay readers, so there obviously wasn't an issue. I already got pulled over way before St. George. But, yeah, I was not a happy camper, but I did pretty well as far as keeping calm. And I was trying to find a lawyer just because, yeah, it was illegal, and I can't get a lawyer to call me back. I don't know if they're all busy or what. I've left some messages on what happened, and some I didn't leave anything, just asked for a call back, and I haven't heard nothing yet, so we'll see.
Yeah, I would have made the wife pull out the phone and start recording. I would have started recording, and yeah, go after them for every penny they got, because he violated your Fourth Amendment very specifically, which has a long history in federal court of going in favor of the defendant. Sorry, not defendants. Other word, I'm going in favor of the person who had their rights violated, because that's a straight-up Fourth Amendment violation. Yeah, I go after him for every penny he has and use all the multi-hundred-thousand-dollar that the city of St. George ends up owing you. Fix up your house, register your truck, fix up the truck, put a lift kit on the SOB, off-road tires, off-road rims, heck, just buy a new truck and build that thing out, full-on HF antennas hanging off the hood of the truck, everything. Oh, I would go after him for every single penny. I don't blame you for trying to go to the lawyers, dude. I'd be so pissed. Also, the FCC thing, WSGD 991.
WSEE 71
WROG 406 ready. Yeah, exactly. You know, and I called. I got down to Vegas. I called. I said, hey, I need to talk to a watch commander. You know, and they said, well, is this for a complaint? I said, well, it might turn into one. You know, and they said, well, we're too busy for that right now, and you can go online and fill out a form. So that made me more irritated, and I didn't have time to keep calling. So I got back on the road, got out to Arizona, and then my dad lives in BFE. So, you know, I was out there for a day before I even got to town. And then when I got to town, I called, said, hey, I need to talk to a sergeant. because I wanted him to pull the body camera, the body cam footage. That was my main thing, is get him to pull it and have some sort of report there, you know. So I did that. He called me back, said he'd skipped through it a little bit, and, you know, and he couldn't explain their shenanigans, of course, you know, and tried to defend the search, and I called him out on it, and I said, well, you know, there's beef jerky. And he said, well, they don't alert for beef jerky. I said, yeah, but your officer said he didn't alert. I go, he said he showed interest. I go, he would show interest in beef jerky, but he wouldn't alert because he's trained to alert on narcotics, right? You know, and then when I said that, they start backpedaling. He goes, well, they're not perfect. I said, well, you don't assume the worst. If he doesn't alert, then you don't just assume I have something in the car. You know what I mean? I was like, we both know it was a legal search. You know, I said, and what are you doing running around with lights? I go, this is just everything bad about this. And he said, well, we could do some retraining about people traveling through. I said, what about people traveling through? What about your own citizens? That's terrible, you know. And I said, this is the reason you guys get a bad name. I've had very good run-ins with officers before in the past. You know, for example, when I was up on the hill and I got stopped, you know, I had awesome interaction with an officer, you know, and then I run into that, and it was the worst experience I've ever had. So I don't know. We'll see if I'm just crossing my fingers. Hope I can get a lawyer to answer the phone.
WSEE 711.
Hang on. My wife has a response. Let me hand her an HT. My response to that is... Feedback, feed loop, sorry. My response to that would be, yeah, absolutely. I would absolutely get lawyers involved and go after them for every single penny they're worth. Try and get them to nullify the immunity. Sorry, feedback loop again. And go after that cop personally, because this probably isn't the first time he's done it. Not to mention, how badly trained are their dogs if they're getting interested in, or pseudo-alerting on beef jerky, to the point where the cop is using that as an excuse to search. Also, hold please for just a second. The wife has a response. I'll hand her an HT.
WSEE 711.
Yeah, exactly. I'll go ahead and stand by for her.
WSEE 711.
Sorry, I'm listening to what you're saying, and I get it. I'd be as frustrated, and I'm glad you stayed calm in the entire situation. Because obviously 9-9-1 Chris would not have been as calm as I probably would have been, but the dogs are trained not to go after beef jerky or treats like that. That's not something they should be alerted to, even it was. If they were, the officers should have been able to tell the difference between an alert for treats, an alert for a substance that they're trained for, right? And so you could do that. I'm sorry you cannot find the lawyer to get back to you. Hopefully that you can. But...
timed out.
WSEE 711 on the Capitol repeater.
711, good evening.
Hi, Chris. That's an awesome story. I couldn't get you on Simplex, so I switched over to the repeater to break in. Anyway, as is a great story, and I think Chris's wife is right. I mean, I think they're just making up excuses, of course, and you know that. But, you know, what do? You got their mercy, right? Who knows? Anyway, it's good to hear you guys. This is WSEE 711.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and sorry about the Simplex now. I don't know how much you've heard, but just stuck at the house. Got to go get emissions done in the morning, so that way I don't need any more problems. But yeah, and that's what it was. I know it wasn't the beef jerky or anything, and I watched the dog from the side, and it didn't do anything. It walked around. It didn't jump up at the window, didn't sit down, nothing. It was, they went through, I give my wife a hard time about her dad's food stamp card because her dad lives with us. We take care of him. He's disabled and stuff. And, you know, they're going through her wallet and all that. But they never even brought up her medication. You know what I mean? So, and I told the wife, actually, I told the wife what was going to happen before we pulled out of the gas station. You know, and it happened exactly how I said it would. I said, they're going to pull us over for the temp tag. You know, and that's what they did. You know, and everything was legal. So that's why I kind of knew, and I just stayed quiet. I wanted to let them dig a hole. So I hope that I can find someone that will help me throw the dirt on top. I don't pay taxes in St. George, so let their citizens be upset about it once if I can get a settlement out of it.
Good to hear you, Gary. Long time no hear. Also, yeah, no, you absolutely did the right thing. Let them dig their hole and go after that officer for every single penny he is worth. Absolutely. Oh, I was going to say something else, but drunk Chris forgot. Maybe sober Chris will remember tomorrow.
I don't know. Sober Chris might not remember anything from tonight, but who knows? I was waiting for the net, and it all of a sudden just started raining, and so I didn't turn anything on until about 5 or 10 after, and heard you guys talking, and heard your whole story, other Chris, and wow, that, I'm glad I heard that.
Yeah, I was a little bummed I didn't get out up there on the hill tonight, but kind of excited to do the Simplex Net again with everybody. But it is what it is. I'll hit it next week. We'll do the Capital Net tomorrow night. So, but yeah, I definitely made for an interesting trip. And and I've heard a little bit about that, about St. George before, so it's whatever. But yeah, at least we made it there and back safe and everything. So that's really what matters. And we'll see. Either if I do get a call back, there might be signs, like a really shiny new age jet rig or something. We'll find out.
It's understandable, though I did remember what I was going to say. So there was a nurse at the U of U who stood up for her patients' rights and got arrested for it. She had a huge settlement, like she got to retire at like 30-something. Maybe look up her case and see what lawyer she had. I mean, obviously, you're probably... Oh, feedback loop. Good Lord. You're probably not going to get the amount of settlement she did because she was full-blown arrested, taken to jail for like 3 days and all that, the whole nine yards. But I might look up her case and see what lawyer she had and maybe try and get a hold of that lawyer, see if they might be willing to take your case on, too, because it's cut and dry, Fourth Amendment violation. So, yeah, I'd absolutely go after them. Not to mention, they're extending a stop beyond reasonable means to get a dog involved, which is also beyond illegal, according to the Supreme Court, the federal level Supreme Court, not just Utah Supreme Court. So yeah, you have like six different things going for you. They have -6 going for them. Your six things going for you are even in their evidence files. So yeah, I'd be so pissed. I'd go after them for every single penny they're worth, dude.
Yeah, you know, and that was the thing. And I called them out on the stop, on the length of the stop, too, and, you know, with the bringing the dog and all that. They ended up having, like, six officers with us. But, you know, and that was the thing when I called them out on. They said, well, you know, if it's in the area, yeah, but you played stupid about the temp tag till they showed up. And I told their sergeant, I said, this stop should have ended as soon as he's seen the temp tag. I said, but that was never going to happen because he's seen it as soon as he got behind me. You know, because I made it blatantly obvious, because I've had a temp tag in the past before, and I know they like to use that for an excuse to pull you over. So I made it blatantly obvious, and with his front lights on while he's driving down the road, without blue and red, should have made it really more obvious. You know what I mean? So, yeah, I would almost guess that the dash cam shows the temp tag, and he should be able to see better than that dash cam can, so... Yeah, I'll have to look up. I know that lady's case. I'd seen the video on that a while back. But, yeah, I've called about 9 lawyers so far, and I haven't gotten any. I had one. I called a criminal lawyer at one point just to see if somebody would pick up the phone. They're supposed to email me info on a lawyer that could help, and I never got the info, so they never emailed me. I don't know. Maybe because I didn't get arrested or anything. And then when they gave me, my pause for reset. When they gave me the warning citation, you know, I questioned him. I said, I showed you proof of registration. And he said, well, just throw this away. And he goes, well, I can throw it away for you. And he went to take it back. I said, no, I'll keep it. And when I grabbed it, he, like, didn't want to let it go. You know, and he just was staring at me. And I'm like, no, thank you, I'll keep it. And I pulled it out of his hands. So that way I have, you know, some information from the stop. And I know that all of them have to be tied to that because they decided to come assist with the stop.
So, I think in your situation, in my opinion, if you can't get a lawyer to contact you back or you're having a hard time, if you have the dash cam footage or request the body cam and they have given it to you, I would honestly post it to social media and tag the police station, either the city and vice versa, or Utah Highway Patrol, whatever it is. Post it on social media and try to get traction that way. Then you have something that backs you up and probably get an answer from a lawyer or even the news media to back you up on that. WSGD 991.
WROG 406 ready. Yeah, that's a valid point, and that's probably what I'll have to do. Maybe I'll have to spend a little bit of money. I know, I think they charge like, I think it's like $27 an hour for them to go through and pull all the info for you or whatever, but that's what I might have to do, just throw a couple hundred bucks at it, get all the information, and then just start posting it, and I imagine I'll get attention of somebody.
Sorry, we had the baby start crying. I didn't catch the response.
Oh, no problem. I was just saying that's probably what I'm going to have to do is I'm probably going to have to request all the footage and everything. And I know they charge to go through and look for it all. So hopefully they don't want me to go physically in person to request it, because if that's the case, that's going to be a bummer to have to drive down to St. George. But I don't know. It might be worth it at the end of the day or something, but... Like I said, I might have to get a couple hundred bucks to throw towards it and get them to pull everything for me. Probably pull, I'll get all the officers' information and then pull the body cam footage and the dash cam footage and all that good nonsense. Go ahead, Paul. That's good to know. I'll have to see about that. I was doing like a little bit of Google searching, and I thought it showed it for that department that they do charge for them to go through and search through the info, but it maybe not for that particularly. I'm not sure. I don't know if I probably need to do a little bit of research on my end and then give them a call and or go online and request it or something, but. I need to get it done because I don't know how long they keep that footage, and it's been 3 weeks now.
So under request for public record, I'm going to be clear for a minute. I got to take a phone call if they'll be listening on the side, though.
Yeah, I should definitely be able to get it. I know that. I guess the only question is if they'll charge to get it for me, and then, you know, I don't know if they'll kind of be lazy about it and then, you know, charge me for a ridiculous amount of hours or something. So I might just have to see it, see what they charge, and I don't know. I don't know if they pull it beforehand and charge me or what. I'm guessing that's probably how it would work. But either way, it's probably going to be worth it. So I need to call them and get it done. I honestly thought, I kind of figured, I was like, well, I get a hold of a lawyer and let them know what's going on. I imagine it'd be fairly easy. And I've been really taken aback with how hard it's been to get a call back. Yes, I did. That's what I've been calling, the civil rights lawyers. And then I called one. I didn't realize it was an injury lawyer until after I called them. And then they asked if I was hurt during it or arrested. So they told them no. They hung up on me. So that was interesting. But I even reached out to a civil rights lawyer. I watch on YouTube a lot, see if they would be interested. But just crickets so far, so we'll see. Yeah, that's true. I mean, really, it's what, time, a pack of cigarettes they open, so I imagine you can go after them for that, and then other than that, you know, the wife, she was pretty much having a panic attack inside the road, because we're pulled out of the car and everything else, and she has to sit down a couple times, they ignored her on that, so I don't know, maybe something there, but it could just be that, there's just maybe not enough loss for them to bother with it. Yeah, and that's kind of my plan so far. You know, I mean, either way, I mean, I guess, you know, you have your rights lost there, which, I don't know, can you put a value on that? Or can you not put a value on that, right? Yeah, that's what I'd assume so, which I don't know how long you've been listening, Paul, but I didn't make it up to the hill to do the simplex net tonight, so I swapped over to the repeater and start chatting. Yeah, I tried calling out a few times on Simplex and get no answer back. I think just nobody on this side of the valley, probably. So, I mean, I did get around the hill there before, but I don't know. Probably time to pull that antenna down and check it, too, to see how it's doing. Maybe that cable whipping around in the wind's come a little bit loose or something, I don't know. But or not. It's just maybe just nobody within reach. Yeah, when I was out of town, I kept trying to listen to your stream, but I was an hour off down there, so every time my phone would go off, I realized I was already an hour late. Oh, that'd be cool. Right, when you have some extra time, play around with it a little bit or something. I suppose you're right, there's kind of an oxymoron there. I don't know. Not that I've noticed. Well, I very much appreciate that. Well, yeah, think about what you would, you know, I mean, I don't want to take it for nothing from you, so I know it's a good radio. So see what you'd be, you know, what that price would be for you, and then let me know. Probably wouldn't be in the very near future here, but hopefully maybe not too far out or something. Oh, yeah, that's what they're saying there, Nelson Peak. And, yeah, if we're running that one in, same as Promontory, just different tone. I don't remember the tone offhand, but, well, that's where everybody was saying it is. So, that's the assumption anyways. I know I tried it from the house on low power with the handheld in the garage, and was told it was coming in nice and clear, so I'm sure it's got really good coverage. Yeah, that's what I was thinking. You can get over the hill with it, too. I think you can get down south with it, possibly. Oh, yeah, that little... So they came out with another firmware update for the UV Pro. And, I told you, I think, about the other one, about the APRS formatting, where you can do a different compression, which they call it Mikey, I think, compression. And normally you have options to set your status in there. Well, the last update, they came out with the option to set the status. So that's pretty cool because you could do, like, in service or out of service, so on and so forth. But you could also do the emergency option, so it would just start alerting everybody on APRS that has that compression. Yeah, it's actually been really cool where everyone's like, oh, it'd be so cool if it had this, and then they roll that out on the firmware, you know, and then it might be a little clunky at first, and then the next firmware, it's tidied up, and so it's actually been really cool to see that. And actually, the Messagetastic, too, I just updated a bunch of the nodes when I got back from Arizona, and they did a lot of updates on that, too. So it's kind of been interesting to watch how far that's come, too, with updates and stuff. Cool watching stuff evolve in that sense. Or at least it's, I like it. Hi, Gary.
Yeah, I have a Meshtastic story where I wanted to get a new case for it that would help, that would make it so that I could include the GPS module I got in it. And so I bought a new case and everything, and the case shows up, and I'm looking for my radio. I can't find it. I think I left it down at my cabin down in Mount Pleasant. I think it's down there. So I don't know where it is. So I bought a new case, but I didn't have my radio. Anyway, WSEE 711.
Well, that's a bummer. Is it solar?
No, it's just on a battery, and I brought it inside to charge it, and I think I just left it when I was cleaning up. I didn't notice that it was still there, and so it's down there. I'll probably go down in a couple weeks and get it so I can do all my upgrades with it, but it was kind of funny.
Yeah, that is funny. A bummer at the same time. That'd be cool, though, if you're, like, seeing it on the mesh or something. That'd be interesting. And I switch over to the handheld, so if I sound a little different, that's why.
Yeah, the only thing I'm getting is lightning strikes, it sounds like. Every once in a while, we get lightning strikes, but you're coming pretty good still.
Yeah, I just stepped out of the garage, felt a couple drops of rain.
It was raining super heavy here in Sandy, right when the net was supposed to start, but it stopped now and it's really nice. I think there's another one coming in a couple hours from what I can see on the radar. But yeah, one big storm rolling around the valley, it looks like.
Yeah, I was in a rough run up there to the top of the hill, but... Oops, sorry. I was in a run up there to the top of the hill, but with the temp tag expiring yesterday, I'm like, I don't want to push my luck, so... I had to go drive the truck once it's cooled off a couple miles to get all the systems ready up and then take it in and get them to pass the emissions, and then I should be good to go after that.
I don't blame you for not wanting to have another run-in, for sure. That was nasty. I've got one other thing. I went on Wednesday and did my general and amateur extra exams and passed. So I'm extra now.
Ah, awesome. Congratulations on that. That's super cool. WROG 406 for ID.
Yeah, thanks. I was taking that class from James James Bennett, and he's like about halfway through the class, he's like, you know, you should just start studying the extra stuff too. And so I did, and yeah, learned a ton. It was a ton of fun. I learned a lot, passed the test. Now I just need to get a radio and an antenna. it'll be fun.
Yeah, that's somewhat what I did when I was practicing. I practiced in general, and I felt pretty comfortable, and I hadn't tested yet, so I'm like, well, why not start practicing for the extra? But if you get a radio, I know if you have the room or something, you can throw a wire antenna up, or you can get, like, one of those little toy box antennas like I got, and they're pretty small. You just run a counterpoise with, like, a tape measure or something. And it's real narrow, so you got to tune it a lot, but you can still get on the air with it. I've done a lot of digital on that thing on 20 meters.
Oh, really? So with even like a super small antenna, I know you can get a fairly small 10-meter antenna, but it sounds like not many people are having good luck with 10 meters, especially with small antennas right now.
Yeah, and 10 meters is definitely its own animal. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. But 20 meters, you'll do pretty good on 20 meters most of the time. 40 meters, you'll pretty much do good almost every night, unless the bands are just crazy crappy. But I have I think it's a Comet MFJ 350M, maybe? If I didn't butcher that, it's put away in the radio box right now. But they call it the toy box antenna. It was actually meant to go on that little Icon backpack. It's got a big loading coil on it and banana plugs. So you do one to ground, and you can move the banana plug around to shorten or lengthen the coil of wire to change your frequency, you know, where it's resonant at. And then the top is telescoping. And then it's got another big piece you could add on to do 80 meters, I believe. 80 meters is not great on that thing. I've done it, but it's definitely stretching pretty far out there to do it. They heard me a little bit, but not. It wasn't great. It wasn't stable communications by far. 40 meters was a little better, but 20 meters and up did really well though. I just put it on that little flagpole I got, and, like, tied it to the flagpole and then raised it up and did a counterpoise on it. Took my nano VNA, you know, I tuned it to, like, the middle of the band, and then I would use the internal tuner on the radio to kind of tune it from there, which it would do a little bit. And then I got the automatic antenna tuner, so that will pretty much tune up all over the band there. But that thing, for being compact, you know, it's not the best antenna in the world, but it'll get the job done.
Yeah, I'll have to look into that. I mean, most of the stuff I'm interested in, I want to get portable. I want to be portable. So, you know, small wire antennas I can string up with trees, or sounds like that antenna would maybe work pretty well with just something that you get up high in the air with. And sounds like with the ground you can do a lot of coil, so... That might be interesting. I'll look into that. Yeah. This is WSEE 711.
Yeah, and it's good just for that, you know. And like I said, it may not the best thing all the time for voice, but digital, it'll do great on digital because digital goes far. I think I was at Yuba Lake. And I tuned it for 17 meters, I think it was, if I remember right. It could have been 15 or something. It was 15 or 17, I think. And I was able to pick up Morse code from Israel, which Morse code goes pretty far because it's considered digital mode. So there is that, but still, to me, that's still pretty impressive. So I've done a bunch of FT8 and stuff on it. I've done some voice on it, but I also have the 40-meter dipole that I put up a lot. And it's big and long, but it's still portable, you know, so there's that. But yeah, and that thing, if you do your counterpoise, you can move your counterpoise around it, and basically, you know, say if you want your signal to go north, then have your counterpoise lean on the ground towards the north, and it'll kind of give you a little bit of directional too.
Yeah, interesting. How do you dipole? What can you know? What, how do you string it up?
So the 40-meter dipole, what I do with that one is the center is pretty heavy on it because it's made out of PVC. So, like when I go out in the field, either or I have a Harbor Freight flagpole. It's just a 20-foot flagpole, and I'll hook the center to that, raise it up, and then I either run the ends far out and just don't let them touch the ground, or I have some like survey poles that I put up on tripods so I can get the ends about 15 to 18 feet in the air. And that does really well. And then actually I use it in my yard too. My base antenna for GMRS and stuff, when I put that up, I put a pulley up there and then a rope for like almost like a flagpole style. So I just hook the center up and I hoist it up and then I stretch the ends out over the house across the yard. So it goes from the front yard to the backyard. And then I can adjust the center up and down and the ends up and down, stuff like that, and kind of play around with it.
Yeah, nice. So it sounds like you can either run it inverted, you've been running it inverted B without the stands, and then if it's with the stands, that's almost horizontal, like just you're getting that 15, 18 feet up on those stands. That sounds like pretty versatile system.
Yeah, it is, and even with the ends on the stand, it's still slightly inverted B, but not nowhere near as much. And it's, you can tell the difference a little bit, so it seems like, you know, it's, I actually really don't know a good way to describe the differences, but, you know, inverted B, you get a little bit more omnidirectional, but as far as, like, noticing it, it does seem, with the ends slightly lower, it's a little less noisy at the house. And then when I got the ends up, it could be a little bit louder, and it definitely changes the way it acts, for sure. Not like an insane amount, but just a little bit. But from my backyard with that wire dipole, I've gotten in the Phoenix on 5 watts.
Yeah, nice. I mean, you know, if you have something that's tuned right and you can get a good, you know, signal out, it's most anything works, right? So it's whatever works. I'm just trying to. It's the beginning of a big adventure, so it'll be fun.
Yeah, most definitely, and you'll definitely have a lot of fun with it. And yeah, there's I also got the automatic antenna tuner, so I'll put that on the dipole, and I can tune around to most bands. Just. It doesn't do well on, like, a reciprocal of it. So, like, it doesn't do well on 20, and it doesn't do super well on 80. You could still use it, but it's, like, real low power just because the SWR is kind of high. It doesn't, like, you know, I guess because, what, 20 ends up being, well, it's twice the length, so you kind of get into, like, a weird reciprocal with it. But it'll work just real low wattage with a tuner. But not really much fun. I didn't seem to enjoy it a lot because I really just couldn't get out to anybody just from the low wattage or it seemed it's probably not very efficient either, you know. So, but on the other bands, they do fine. I like jumped to 10. It did, you know, it do all right. And then the other bands too. So played around a little bit with digital on the other bands.
Very nice. Very nice. Well, anyway. Appreciate it. I'll put those on my list of things to maybe explore. So I still have to get radio though. So that's sort of the big hurdle.
Yeah, there's a couple groups on Facebook that do like ham radio swap or whatever, and ham and sells and. I think there's one that's local, and there's one, too, that's, like, national. So, you know, you'd have to pay them to ship it and stuff like that, which I'm not a huge fan of, just because I don't want to get ripped off. But I also feel like you probably wouldn't have that big of a deal with that in the ham community, or I would hope not, at least. So it's probably not a thing, and I imagine people get a bad name and get kicked out of there quick for that. But I've seen some pretty good deals come through there. I've seen one, a 991 Alpha like mine with the ATAS antenna, which, I mean, that right there, is probably, man, almost probably like a $1,700 setup was going for like $700. So So I've definitely seen some good deals on there.
Yeah, I'll have to look at that. I mean, for sure, it's a lot better talking to somebody face to face, where you can look at the equipment and you know, shake hands with the person and all that. But I think you're right. I think even with dealing over, you know, long distance, it's not too bad. I think people are generally pretty trustworthy, and you're right. I think they'd get a bad name, and nobody wants to do that in the ham community.
Yeah, exactly, you know, and I don't really think you're going to have any imposters, because if you did, they probably really wouldn't know what they're talking about with the equipment, so... I'm sure it's fine, but that, and I just haven't had money and seen equipment that I wanted to spend that money on at the same time yet either. So
yeah, I'm excited to do it, but I'm not in a huge rush, and you know, it all has to be right. So you know, it's something that probably will take a while, but that's all right. WSEE 711.
Yeah, there's definitely a lot of options out there, so definitely find something that's going to work for you. Like, to be dead honest, originally I'm like, well, as an apartment, I'm definitely going to be